Welcome to this week's edition of Focus Fridays here on WKLM. Focus Fridays is being brought to you by Hobrons Insurance, Home Siding, Rohde's IGA, Millersburg Electric, Pomerine Hospital, MRV Siding, and Millersburg Tire. I am Melissa Patrick with WKLM, and in this episode, I welcome Deb Miller, the Holmes County Home Superintendent. Welcome, Deb. Thank you so much for coming in and joining with us here for Focus Fridays.
Thank you for having me.
And so you are the superintendent at the Holmes County Home, like we talked about there when I introed you in. And so just a quick little summary, what is a superintendent at a county home?
So the superintendent's job is basically to oversee the day-to-day function of the home. That includes many, many different aspects of what one would consider going into running a home. So that's things like budget and scheduling, admissions, the whole wide range of things is stuff that the superintendent would be responsible for.
You're holding that umbrella.
Yes, yes, it's very much an umbrella position, yes.
And so how long have you been the superintendent at the county home?
So I've been the superintendent since 2016. My history with the county home actually began in 2004. I started as a nurse's aide and worked for about a year. And then I went to LPN school, got my nursing license, and came back to the home in 2006 as an LPN charge nurse on second shift. Then I went to RN school, got my RN license, left for about a year, and came back in 2014 as assistant superintendent to Leslie Mast. And then when she transitioned to the treasurer position, I was appointed the superintendent in 2016.
And you said you got your LPN and your RN, do you need those things to be superintendent? Are there any requirements to being superintendent?
Those requirements are not necessary to be superintendent. In fact, I believe I am the first superintendent that comes from a nursing background. Typically, the superintendent had more of a business type background. So not necessary. I believe the commissioners were just looking for somebody who, you know, believed in the mission of the home and, you know, really cared deeply about what we do there to just kind of oversee those day-to-day operations.
Do you think your background helps you with the day-to-day of the home, understanding what the residents need and things like that?
Oh, without a doubt. Yeah, that is, I think, a very critical part. I mean, the reason we're there for the residents. By starting as a nurse's aide, I obviously am very well in tune to what the residents' needs are. So yeah, that background, I think, has helped tremendously as far as continuing the tradition of the home and the things that we're able to do there.
And did you ever think that this is where you were going to land as being a superintendent at the county home? Or
no. No. I mean, I always knew I wanted to serve others. Obviously, that's why nursing was a choice for me. Did I see myself in this position? Absolutely not. But very thankful to get to be there. So
probably can't see yourself anywhere else now.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
When you took over as the superintendent of the county home, was there anything that you knew from your past being in there, they're like, okay, now that I'm in this position, let's adjust this because I saw how we needed to do something and now I'm in this position where I can do that?
I was fortunate to get to come back as assistant superintendent under Leslie. Leslie Mast was a fantastic superintendent and did a lot of wonderful things at the county home. And all of my years worked there were under Leslie's tenure. So I learned a lot through the years just from her, even working as a nurse, as far as interacting with residents and families. So that all really helped when, you know, I came into the position. But as her assistant, I was able to work kind of hand in hand with her for those couple years to really get to see the business side of things. But no, the philosophy of the home has remained the same. That has not changed. The focus is always and will always be on the residents and the care that they receive.
And it's a tough position because you're with these residents in some of the last times of their life, some of the rough times of their life, whether mm-hmm. they're just there for a temporary period, it's got to be take a toll on a person being there. And so it takes a special person to be able to do that.
Yes. And yes, you could say that it's rough, but the word I look for is rewarding. It is one of the most rewarding jobs I think a person can have to get to be a part of that resident's journey. Yes, at a very difficult time often it's just a truly rewarding experience to be trusted to provide that care, to be there with them, to be a support, to be a guide for the families. It's just, yeah, it's an amazing feeling.
And you generally hear good things about the Holmes County home. So
yes,
you guys have a good reputation.
Yeah. And that's, you know, we're known for our care. And like I mentioned, you know, that's the focus. We're able to focus on those things, which is what we really want.
Well, we'll learn more about what happens at the county home and what is more detailed into your mm-hmm. job. This is Deb Miller with the Holmes County Home Superintendent for WKLM's Focus Fridays. I'm Melissa Patrick. We are back here with the Holmes County Home Superintendent, Deb Miller, and I'm Melissa Patrick for Focus Fridays. And Deb, with your job as superintendent, I'm sure that there are things that you do that is an everyday kind of thing, but I'm sure there's a lot that shakes up your day being out there.
Absolutely.
Whenever you work with people.
Yes.
It can be very unpredictable.
Yes. The only constant is change. So that's what I like to say.
And so what are some of the things that you are required to do as the superintendent to keep the home functioning and operational? And I'm sure the government's involved. And
right. Yeah. I mean, a big part of any business, I guess, would be, you know, budget. Budget is very big at the county home. We are in a non-skilled facility, which means we don't receive state or federal funding. So the budget is it's very, very tight. So, you know, every day you're thinking of ways to try to stay within that budget, to, you know, cut things down when you need to. And that really is an everyday process, you know, things like, you know, working with the department heads for supplies and things that we need or don't need. You know, staffing is another big thing. You know, making sure we're having adequate staffing, but also not, you know, excessive or anything like that. So, I mean, the budget is a big part of it.
And with the cost of everything these days, I'm sure it's made budgeting a little bit more difficult.
Absolutely. The last couple years specifically, things have gotten a lot tighter with the increases on supplies. And, you know, obviously you want to compensate your workers. So, you know, salaries have gotten higher too. And we have wonderful staff at the county home. So absolutely we want to compensate them, you know, for the work that they do. But yeah, it's all hands on deck. You try to get input from different department heads. You try to get information from other county departments, you know, things that we can do, resources that are out there that we're able to use. So yeah, so we work a lot with, you know, the different county departments to try to, you know, try to find ways like that.
Now, with the type of place that you are, with it being the county home, are there grant opportunities and things you can go for, or are you kind of limited being the type of facility you are?
There aren't as many grants out there for the type of things that we do at the county home, but we have received block grant money before for upgrades to the building, safety grants through the Bureau of Workers' Compensation. We've been able to get some medical equipment for that. Those are pretty much the only ones that we really have tapped into. Are there more out there? Quite possibly. That's a learning experience as I go to see what else could possibly be out there to help us.
There's nothing easy when it comes to grants.
No, not at all. And there's always strings, you know, always strings that come along with those. But we're always grateful for whatever we're able to get. So.
And the cost of food has thrown things. But you guys thankfully get help when it comes fair time, too.
Yes, yes, indeed. We are blessed to be part of a community where donations are a big part of what we do. The fair is a prime example. The amount of individuals who donate their purchases to the county home, the people who help with the cost of processing for that is a big, big blessing.
For sure. And I think every time we say, what a great community we live in. And when it comes to the Holmes County Home, these are some of the people that you really want to see being taken care of and having people donate for and things there.
Yes, we have, you know, wonderful residents, and most of them have, you know, great families that are very active. We have some residents who don't have that. So for the community to come together and to continue to support and to make those donations, so our residents don't have to worry. They don't have to wonder about, you know, how their bills are going to get paid. They don't have to worry about that because Holmes County, we take care of our own, and that's exactly what we're trying to do at the county home.
And you also try to make the care at the home affordable for people to bring their family members to.
Absolutely.
And that kind of plays in your budget too, how you choose your rates.
Yes, and that has been a challenge through the years because, you know, we can't offer a lot of amenities that skilled nursing facilities can. But what we do offer is the care that is, you know, top-notch, 100% focused on the resident. So, yeah. Some people would say, well, you can't put a price on that, but yes, you can.
You have to.
but yes, we have had to increase our rates just very recently to try to help offset some of those other costs. Still, you know, well under, you know, what a skilled nursing facility is, but yes, more than what it has been in the past.
Is the county home the only unskilled nursing facility in the county?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, we have some assisted living facilities. Mm-hmm. Those operate a little differently than skilled nursing, but the county home is the only county home.
And is there requirements for people to be able to go to the county home, or is it available for anybody to have their family member go there?
Yes, there is. In our admission policy, it kind of goes over, you know, indigent county residents are the priority, and then an in-county resident, an out-of-county resident who has had land in Holmes County or has a family member in Holmes County, and then we do also accept out-of-county residents as long as we have
space
and available beds for in-county residents should they need to come in.
And for anybody who doesn't know, indigent are those folks who don't have anyone.
Yes. Yep, they don't have anyone. They don't have any funding, no way to pay for care that they need.
Because everybody needs care.
Yes, and that's essentially what the county homes were created for. Back in the 1800s, like every county was made to have a county home for that reason, for the indigent population in that county.
And we've had the same county home for quite a while.
Yes, indeed we have. 1867 was when the Holmes County Home originally came about.
Up on the hill.
Yes, indeed.
Well, we'll get more with the operations and your day-to-day of the county home. That is the Holmes County Home Superintendent, Deb Miller. I'm Melissa Patrick for Focus Fridays on WKLM. We are returning with the Holmes County Home Superintendent, Deb Miller. I'm Melissa Patrick for Focus Fridays. And at the end of the last segment, we started talking about, you know, how you get into the Holmes County Home. And that's one of the things you are a part of is the admissions process to the home.
Most skilled nursing facilities have social workers or admissions directors to help facilitate the admission process. At the county home, we have me, and then I have a wonderful support team of nursing supervisors and secretaries and people that help with that process as well. But the actual process is relatively simple. If you're interested, give me a call, stop by. There's an admission packet where we get just a little bit of basic information, a little medical information. And then the fun part begins, where we would set up a time to do an assessment with the resident to get to know them, to make sure that we can provide the care that they need and that we're the, you know, and that we have an appropriate space available for them.
And what kind of spaces are available at the home for people to go into?
Yeah. So we have our building again. The building we're in now was built in 1896. So we do have a first floor and a second floor. We have an elevator, so residents don't have to do stairs. Typically, our residents who are upstairs are a little more independent, have a little bit better mobility, and the residents who reside on the first floor are those who need a little bit of additional care. So we want to make sure when we're doing that assessment, if it's somebody who needs more care, do we have the room downstairs or would they be appropriate to be upstairs?
And what are some of the other amenities that are offered at the home as far as rooms and things like that?
Yeah, so we, again, because of our building, we have double rooms and then we have larger rooms called wards that have 3 to 4 residents in them. We have a handful of private rooms available. 2 of those do have a private bathroom. The rest of the rooms, they share bathroom. It's the dorm style bathrooms that they have. So yeah, we don't have a lot of fancy amenities, but our residents don't spend a lot of time in their rooms. They are a lot of times out in one of our common areas with the other residents.
And so you say common areas, do you have like places where they watch TV or play games? What kind of things do they have offered?
So we have 2 rooms. We call them our day rooms. They're essentially big living areas that have recliner chairs. There's a table set up in one that some of them do puzzles on, televisions out there. Those rooms are where the majority of our residents will spend their day just resting in a recliner, watching TV or just watching life happen. We do have activities, you know, throughout the week as well that the residents, you know, get to participate in as well.
I was just going to ask if there's activities that you guys provided for them, because you always see that, like the activities director.
Yes, we do. So our activities director, she works Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays in our activities department. And yes, they do a wide range of activities. Bingo is obviously a very popular one.
Everybody loves bingo.
But even more than that, just, you know, sitting around and talking, reminiscing, arts and crafts. They go out to eat for lunch. They go on shopping trips. They go out for country rides and stop and get ice cream, spending time outside in the summertime when the weather is nice. Community, again, I know I keep coming back to this, but we have a lot of community groups that come in the evenings, church groups. We have a bluegrass band that comes monthly. All of those are what makes, you know, it more of a home for the residents and gives them other things to do than just sitting and watching TV or just sitting period.
Or being cooped up in their room like you could be at a nursing facility. And so it seems like you guys are, by being called Holmes County Home, you are creating home for them.
Yes. And that's as I give tours to people, that's kind of the resounding response that you get. It's very homey. You know, again, it's not fancy, but it's homey and quaint and it's just a very different atmosphere than a typical nursing facility would be.
And there's been a couple times where you've mentioned that you're a not skilled facility, but you do have skilled workers there that are taking care of the residents.
Yes, that's an understatement. I mean, again, the staff at the county home, every staff member, they believe in the mission of the home and what we do. You know, in other words, they're there for the right reasons and they care deeply for these residents. And that does, that shines through in the work that they do.
And you've got LPNs, RNs, all the people to be able to take care of them with any health issues too.
We have nurses, aides. We do only staff LPNs because we don't do skilled care. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the aides and the nurses, we have an excellent dietary staff that provides, you know, great meals for our residents. Our maintenance department is wonderful. They do a lot hands-on with the residents as well. So, you know, you don't get that a lot of places, but generally every day at the home, you're going to have the opportunity to interact with every resident. You know, we eat our meals together in the dining room. So every staff member every day generally is seeing
them. Integrated.
Absolutely. Yep.
That's nice.
Yes. Very home-like, very family-like. Family is the other word that we use a lot. I often say we are one big happy family, slightly dysfunctional at times, but overall.
What family is it?
Exactly.
Give me a family that's not a little dysfunctional. Come on.
Well, yes, absolutely. One big happy, happy family.
When you look at the admissions, I'm sure that sometimes you do have to say no.
Yeah,
that is something that is not going to be a good fit. And that has to be hard too.
That is hard. I do. Every call that I get immediately, you want to help. The timeline is usually the biggest obstacle. Either we can't bring them in as quickly as they need to, or, you know, maybe it is an out-of-county resident where we have to wait to see if they're in-county residents first. So that is difficult because you want to help everybody. And obviously, I'm so proud of what we do that I want every resident to come there. But yeah, other than that, there's not a lot of reasons why we have to say no. Obviously the skilled care, we can't do skilled care, but other things are like severe behaviors. We're not equipped to handle severe behaviors, but those are generally the only reasons why you would have to say no.
And you do have a limit on how many people you can take in.
That is true. Yes, we only have a certain amount of beds. That is indeed true. So unless we wanted to do bunk beds or double up, but that...
hey, you got a new friend.
that we haven't had to do yet, so...
Well, we'll learn more about what goes on at the Holmes County Home in our next segment. That is Deb Miller, the superintendent at the County Home. I'm Melissa Patrick for Focus Fridays on WKLM. As we come back here to Focus Fridays on WKLM, I'm Melissa Patrick for WKLM with Deb Miller, the Holmes County Home Superintendent, and we've been learning about what you do, and because of the way the county home is designed, you do a lot, and part of your what you do is kind of can be ballooned into HR.
Yes. Yes, the county does have an HR director that oversees the entire county, but at the county home, I wear HR hat for as far as hiring, interviewing, all of the things that go along with that.
And so you've got to make sure you're getting the right people in there to keep that atmosphere that you're going for.
Absolutely. And, you know, that is something that has gotten harder, you know, as years gone by. It's hard to find people who are doing it for the right reasons. So yeah, those interviews are important. You know, the training that we do with them is very important. We do a lot of cross training so employees can help out in different departments if needed. So yeah, there's a lot that goes in with it. And sometimes it's just, you know, luck. You hit the jackpot sometimes. And so those are the folks that we're constantly looking for.
And a lot of people have been struggling with employees. Is that something that you guys find, or do you think because of the kind of facility you are, people want to work there?
I do think that people genuinely want to work there. One, we are part of the county, so the county does have a very, very nice benefits package. So that is definitely a selling point. But the other thing is we're a small facility. Our staff to patient ratio is a lot less than what you would see in skilled facilities. So yeah, I think the staff that comes there, they do appreciate that, and they stay for reasons like that.
And so you have to go through all the process with HR, and not just the hiring, but all that goes with it, along with help from the county HR too, I'm
yes,
sure.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
And it's got to be tough.
Some days are tougher, some months are tougher, but overall, again, I'm blessed to have a phenomenal staff that, you know, that get to do the day-to-day things there at the home. So,
and is there anything else under the HR kind of umbrella that you are in charge of out there?
Yeah, so, you know, other than the hiring and the things that go along with that, scheduling, I primarily handle the scheduling for the entire building, the different departments. So generally we try to do that monthly. So you try to have a schedule done for the whole month, but then you have, you know, those fun things like sick time and vacation time. Those holidays are another thing with the county because we do have a lot of holidays. Just really working those into the schedule, trying to make sure that you have the adequate staffing, you know, for each department and every shift. So yeah, that sometimes can be a little bit of a challenge.
I've done scheduling before, not with that many people, but yeah. Even with the five people I had to work with, it's always interesting when working with schedules.
Yes. Yeah, it can take an hour or it can take 8 hours. It just depends on the month and the circumstances that you're dealing with. But and yeah, and then, you know, you also get to do the not so fun stuff, the discipline that comes along with the, you know, the HR. But generally those are things that I work hand in hand with the county HR to make sure that we're following all the proper policies and protocols for those. So.
And hopefully you don't have to deal with that too often.
Not as often as some, I'm sure. So, yeah. But then, yeah, you also get to do the things like evaluations where you get to, you know, try to let them know, you know, the good things that they're doing, as well as, you know, if there's things that they need to improve on. So those are kind of things that you do every month, every year. In services, we try to do, you know, in services to educate staff. So that plays into the scheduling to make sure you can get those scheduled at a time where, because you're a 24-hour a day operation. So trying to schedule those to where
everybody can participate. You have times where you can catch everybody. And when we said earlier that your job is consistently changing, just looking at all the little arm branches of what you do, that explains why.
Yes.
There's not a lot of consistency in your day-to-day.
No, not really. And the beauty, I mentioned cross-training, and a lot of that I feel starts with me. There's not a job at the county home that I haven't done. There's not a job that I would expect my employees to do that I wouldn't do myself. You know, and that comes from, you know, working as a nurse's aide. And I do have my nursing license, so I am able to cover, you know, call-offs in the nursing department. So again, I think it's all about working as the team and, you know, to cover those scheduling needs, which is generally what we're able to do.
And like you said, as a 24-hour facility, that makes even more of a challenge, because it's not like, oh, we can just pull this here, because then now you don't have them there.
Right. And again, you know, we're focused on the residents, so they're the ones that are impacted most, you know, with the staffing. So yeah, you want to make sure that you're maintaining safe staffing levels so they continue to get that, you know, that quality care.
Now, do you guys generally remain close to full or full with your residents, or do you have times when you're lower, or?
Yeah, that kind of fluctuates. Right now we're not full. We have a waiting list that we're working through, but a lot of that is because of how, you remember how I talked about having the appropriate bed. So a lot of folks that we had on our wait list needed to be downstairs, but we don't have downstairs beds available. So that's a lot of the process and a lot of the wait, because people are like, well, if you say you're a 50 bed facility, but you only have 28 residents, what, you know, so you have to explain, well, we can't put people on the second floor, that it's not safe for them to be up there. So,
because it's, they got to be safe too.
Right. Safety is, yeah, you know, safety and happiness. Those are the, you know, the important things that we're.
And how full you are depends on, is how you kind of have to build your staffing then.
Absolutely.
From there.
Yeah. And I think that's one of those areas where my background in nursing helps, because I have worked in the trenches. So no, I don't want my staff to have, you know, 60 residents and have one aide. I want to make sure that, you know, they can do it safely and most effectively for the residents. So
have that good ratio.
Yes. Yes. Which, you know, sometimes is also a challenge, but, you know, because of how we operate in our staff, again, you know, we are very much a team. It's very much a team effort. So nurses help, you know, like I said, maintenance, they'll come in and help do things. They'll drive people to appointments. So it really is a team effort.
And was there any other HR items that you handle, or did we cover them all now?
I think we kind of touched on most of them. There's probably some that I'm forgetting, but like those are the big ones that kind of pop up, you know, fairly routinely.
Well, we'll be back with more from Deb Miller, the superintendent at the Holmes County Home. I'm Melissa Patrick for WKLM's Focus Fridays. And we are stepping back in here with the Holmes County Home Superintendent, Deb Miller. I'm Melissa Patrick for Focus Fridays here on WKLM. And we've talked all about the county home, but one of the pieces that comes together with the county home to really help out isn't officially county home, but they make sure to keep that home feeling for the county home. Is that the best way to describe?
Yeah, that's actually a very good way. Yeah, so you are referring to the auxiliary that we have. So we do. We have a Holmes County Home Auxiliary that's been around, oh, I don't know.
40, a while.
40 plus years, I would say. That is composed of volunteers who a lot of them have had family members at the county home, but they are just individuals who want to see, you know, good things happen for the residents at the county homes. So yeah, we have monthly meetings where they come in, you know, you take any needs that you have to them. They vote on how the money that we raise at our auction every year, they vote on how that money is spent to benefit the residents.
And it's all about, it's not about getting, paying salaries or, you know, getting the basics. This is enhancing the life for residents.
Correct.
At the home.
Yeah. So that auxiliary money has nothing to do with the day-to-day operations. Those funds are specific for resident needs or improvements to make their everyday life, you know, better quality.
And what are some of the things, for example, that they've done for the home?
There have been a lot of things that they've done through the years. Some of the like every year things that they would provide, you know, medical equipment, you know, they'll buy new wheelchairs. They help furnish our day rooms that we have with comfortable recliner chairs so the residents all have access to someplace comfortable to sit. They pay for the televisions for in their rooms. The cable service is something new that they have started paying for. Yeah, just a lot of little things that you might not think about, but they also provide Christmas gifts for the residents every year where every resident gets, you know, numerous, you know, whether it's clothing or just things that they enjoy or like, you know, the auxiliary funds, all that. They help, oh goodness, with building improvements. So some of our additions that we mm-hmm. have added onto our building, the auxiliary has funded that. Our walking path that we have outside, those are all projects that the auxiliary does for our residents.
Things that you wouldn't necessarily have money for in your budget, but they know would give that feeling of home to the residents.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, they... I mean, it's just a lot of little things that you don't even think of, and they don't question, you know, whether it's buying razors for our residents to have their own razors, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of little things that we would take for granted, but things that make our home, you know, make things more comfortable for us. The auxiliary is always phenomenal. They don't bat an eyelash. Wheelchair vans, they have purchased wheelchair vans. We're looking at a transit bus with a lift so we could take even more residents mm-hmm. out. So all of those things would not be possible just out of our operational budget. So those are things that the auxiliary is key for.
And their key fundraiser is the auction that you hold every year.
Yep, that is our only fundraiser. But yeah, the auction, our fall auction that we have the third Saturday of September every year, is what generates the money that the auxiliary gets to use.
Now, can people donate to the auxiliary any time of the year if they want to see projects happen at the home? And
absolutely. Yes, absolutely. They can. If there's something specific that they have in mind, you know, yes, they can do that. We encourage everybody, even if you want to just come for one of the meetings to kind of see what it is, you know, what it is we do, everybody is welcome to kind of see that part of the process.
And it's an important part to have as part of the county home is having this auxiliary board.
Yeah, it's essentially another layer of support for our residents. So, you know, obviously they have us, the staff, they have their families, but then they also have this auxiliary that their focus is also these residents. So yeah, it's another layer of support for our residents.
So that's good to have that.
Oh, I think it's vital. And it is. It's what kind of separates us from other facilities. It allows us just to do more for our residents, which is really why we're there.
Exactly. And so we are just about done with our time here. We've got a little bit more to learn with Deb Miller, the superintendent for the Holmes County Home. I'm Melissa Patrick for WKLM's Focus Fridays. We are on our last segment here with the superintendent of the Holmes County Home, Deb Miller. I'm Melissa Patrick for Focus Fridays here on WKLM. And we've kind of come to the end here. And a lot of positions that we've talked with have groups where you can be a part of similar, like-minded folks to help get ideas and network and things. And so is there a superintendent's group that, or something similar that you are a part of?
Right. There's no superintendent's group, but we do have, it's called the Ohio County Home Association. So the remaining county homes, the majority of them are a part of this association. So we do have a conference every year, usually in November, where we have speakers, you know, we get CEUs that we need for various licenses, but also a lot of networking, a lot of time to sit and just pick each other's brains, bounce ideas off of each other. So that conference is kind of one part of that. But then throughout the year, there's constant communication via email or phone calls like, hey, we got this going on, you know, what have you done in the past? So yeah, that is probably the best group as far as, you know, if we're having some issues, kind of to bounce people off of, ideas off of.
It's got to be handy because I'm sure there are situations that come up and you're like, I have never seen this before ever. Exactly. Somebody had to have.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, because we are a non-certified home, there are only 7 non-certified county homes left in the state of Ohio.
Oh, my.
Yes. So in about 22 certified homes. So at once there were 88 county homes, and now we're down to around 30 in the entire state. So the non-certified homes, we have different kinds of problems than the certified homes have. So it is nice, you have the feedback from all, but specifically you have these other 6 non-certified homes that truly understand
your struggle.
So yeah, you really form great relationships with them to really help kind of, you know, get through some of these tougher situations.
It's networking is so important in any business, really.
Yeah. And you know, in a county home is no different. You know, you welcome new ideas because, yeah, maybe just because we've done something the same way for 50 years, maybe we need to take a look at how we're doing that. So yeah, I've gotten a lot of great ideas and feedback from the other county homes in Ohio.
And you're dealing with people. Whenever you deal with people, it brings situations that sometimes you're like, what? How?
Yeah, how am I going to deal with this?
What?
Yeah. And it is nice because usually, you know, even if they haven't gone through the same situation, maybe they've
had something. You can bounce ideas.
Yes, maybe they've had something similar or something way worse where you've been able to, okay, so that's how you handled that. So if I scale, you know, that
scale back.
Yeah. So it is. It's vital to the, you know, the care and the, you know, the continuing of the county home.
And, you know, also with training, you are maintaining your nursing license.
Yes.
Do you help keep track of the other employees' licenses and keep them up or with their trainings? And do you have those kinds of things that you worry about too?
Yeah. So all of our nurses are required to, you know, every 2 years renew their license. There's continuing education that they have to do. My nurses, they maintain that themselves, but I do, you know, verify that they are being done. With our nurses' aides, they don't have to be state-tested nurses' aides, but we have some who are. So I do report to the nurse aid board to keep their license in current standing. So, you know, down the road, if they need to go back to a skilled facility, they're able to do that.
And I'm sure there are just trainings for folks in your type of business that you guys got to maintain as well.
Yes. Yep. Continuing education is everywhere and for all aspects. And, you know, even within the home, we try to do in services with our staff, even though maybe not technically required, but it's also just, it's good to try to keep people up to date on different things.
And you want the best practices.
Absolutely.
And are there any groups that you're part of just within the county or anything that you feel it's important to be involved in?
Yeah, so I actually am on the Volunteer Guardianship Board for Holmes County. And that is important. It goes right along with the county home because sometimes you do have those residents who have nobody to advocate for them. So you can work with the guardianship board to get a guardian appointed for them. So that is really primarily the other group that I'm very active in, just to try to make sure that all individuals who need a guardian, you know, we can work to get that done for them.
And that's the one with Judge Lee, correct?
Yes, that is correct.
It is. It's a very important program, and it's in need of volunteers.
Absolutely, yes. We're always looking for folks who want to make a difference, and you know, to help somebody who just needs that person to speak up and advocate for them.
As I say, you are probably one of the best people to say, you know, these people are important to our residents.
Yeah, absolutely, because we've had in the past, residents who have needed guardians, and those volunteer guardians, you know, are critical because maybe that resident can't make decisions for themselves anymore, but those guardians are able to make the best decision on behalf of that resident.
Exactly. Everybody needs somebody to speak up for them.
Yes. Yes, we do indeed.
Well, is there anything else you'd like to share with us before we wrapped up today?
Not really. Thank you for having me today. I've enjoyed getting to talk about the county home and what we're able to do. But yeah, if anybody has questions, feel free to stop by, give me a call. Always happy to talk about the county home and the work that we do there.
Well, thanks so much, Deb. We appreciate it.
That was Holmes County Home Superintendent Deb Miller for WKLM's Focus Fridays. I'm Melissa Patrick. Focus Fridays has been brought to you by Hobbins Insurance, Holmes Siding, Rhodey's IGA, Millersburg Electric, Pomerine Hospital, MRV Siding, and Millersburg Tire. Make sure to catch Focus Fridays each and every Friday in the 9 a.m. hour. If you happen to miss an episode of Focus Fridays, you can always go to the website, WKLMFM.com, and click on the Focus Fridays icon, and then choose the episode that you missed. In the next episode of Focus Fridays, we focus in on NAMI Executive Director Jen Grimm. It's all here on your hometown radio, 95.3 WKLM.